Probably won't deal with all the verses this morning, but if you turn to 1 John chapter 2, we're journeying through the epistles of John. Just want to read verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. You all know me well enough by now to know that I love music, all kinds. And one of my favorite music genres was what is called, or what was called, and I don't know if they still call it that or not now, but it's what was called Jesus music. That music of the late 60s and 70s, specifically Christian-based. And one of my favorite singers during that period of time was the late Keith Green. And he wrote the following song, which ties in with the message this morning. The words are, I want you here with me, but you've been keeping other company. You can't sit still. It's plain to see you love the world and you're avoiding me. My word sits there on your desk, but you love your magazines and books the best. You prefer the light of your TV. Now we can say the internet, computer, media, and all that. You love the world and you're avoiding me. You used to pray. You were so brave. Now you can't keep even one appointment we've made. Oh, I gave my blood to save your life. Tell me, is it right? Will you leave me here alone again tonight? Well, I love you still more and more, but you're fighting everything I'm working for. You're acting like my enemy. You love the world, and you're avoiding me. These other loves, they're hurting you. If you end up losing me, then what will you do? Oh, I gave my blood to save your life. Tell me, is it right? Will you leave me here alone again tonight? Oh, you love the world and you're avoiding me. The key passage, the key to the passage before us this morning is two words, which I shall put up, that we see in this passage, and that is this. World and loves. World contrasted with loves. John uses the word cosmos for world and love, agapao. John challenges us here to focus our attention on God and His Son, and not on the things of this world. It boils down to this, and it's, and I preached on this before years ago, and it's still true today. It boils down to this, to trying to love the world and to love God at the same time. When we try to do this, we become frustrated. Why? Because it isn't really impossible to do. The Bible tells us that we cannot serve two masters. The trouble is, many Christians are trying to do just that. That's why we don't see as many people in our churches nowadays. Because they're trying to do just that. True. Brown Bannister was another songwriter of that time that wrote some good songs. And he best describes it in this song he wrote called Old Man's Rubble. You ever heard it? Old Man's Rubble. Dig that out sometime if you can on the computer and listen to it. Brown Bannister, he's the one that wrote it, sang it. Several other artists that have done it, but it's called Old Man's Rubble. If this is the words. Deep down within you, there's a spiritual battle. There's a voice of the darkness and a voice of the light. And just by listening, you've made a decision. Because the voice you hear is going to win the fight. Are you living in an old man's rubble? Are you listening to the father of lies? If you are, then you're headed for trouble. If you listen too long, you'll eventually die. But if you're living as a new creation, if you're listening to the Father of Light, then you're living in a mighty fortress and you're going to be clothed in power and might. Isn't that a great song? Living in an old man's rubble. Again, many Christians are trying to do just that. They want to serve, and they're trying to serve, two masters. They want to serve, and they're trying to serve God. But on the other hand, they also want to and are trying to serve the world. That's why the two key words in that passage is world and loves. So with that, let's begin to unpack this text. Dragging the old man around. What John says here. Do not love the world, the cosmos, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Too many Christians aren't sure they want to die. Too many Christians, what I mean by that is too many Christians do not want to let the old man die. To let the old person die. Remember what, you know, what Paul tells us is that when we become Christians, we become a what? A new creation. At least we're supposed to be. New creations. We're supposed to become new creations. But what John is saying, he's talking to the church here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to us today. that there are too many Christians who still love some things about the world. Yeah, they hate to give them up. We can give all kinds of examples of that, can we not? The text is crystal clear. When we become a Christian, what John is saying and what Paul tells us is that we die to the world. We die to the world and we die to ourselves. You see, what John is talking about here, is John denigrating God's creation? Is John tearing down the world? So what does he mean? That we're not supposed to care anything about what God has given us? God's creation? Is that what he's talking about? Well, I don't think so. Scripture tells us in John 3:16, doesn't it? For God, what? For God so loved the world. He loved his creation. So what does John mean? John's not saying that the world is, and the things in it is sin. That it's all sin. That's not what he's talking about. He uses world in whoo. It's just a fly. I hate bees. Not that I hate them, I dislike them. Why? Because when they sting, I usually swell up. It's a fly. Here it is fall time. Anyway, those are annoying things too, as well as other things in the world. But he's not talking about world in that way. And we can give all kinds of examples that things that people hate to give up, they want to hold on to. And John is not saying that having things, possessions, what have you, loving things, like loving our pets. He's not saying those things are wrong. God allowed us to have those things. He gave those things to us, did he not? So John cannot be talking about that when he says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. What he's talking about is that when we become Christians and new creation, we have died to the world, to ourselves. What is he talking about? He's talking about world in such a way that with that which is orientated against God. He's talking about those things. He's talking about the world in such a way that it means that which would keep you dragging your old man around, your old person around. Instead of developing the fact that you're a new creation in Christ. That's what he's talking about here. That's the gist of these songs that I read to you. Listen to sometime, again, get on YouTube or on the computer, what have you, and look up that song of Keith Green and listen to it, to the words. You love the world and you're avoiding me. I like the last part of that. It's really nails it. If you end up losing me, then what will you do? Oh, I gave my blood to save your life. Oh, you love the world and you're avoiding me. So many have got in that situation. They've chosen it. They've allowed themselves to. And see, and John uses this in the present tense. That we are to continually to do this. But John uses it in such a way that when he said, do not love the world, he uses the tense and he's saying, stop what you are doing now. What he's saying is that's what they are striving to do. And in effect, John is saying, stop it. But you must do it on a continual basis. Paul gives us some hints on that in relation to what John is saying in his epistles. For instance, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We all know this. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And which I now, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's further what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I had a friend in Bible college, Mark Upchurch, I told you this before, but he had a jacket made for him, and on the back of it, he had Philippians 1:21, and all it said was, either way, I win. That's what Paul is saying here. If I live, it's Christ. If I die, I gain. Either way, that's the way the Christian should think. It's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And then what it comes down to, what Jeff read in Romans 8, and then also what is found in Romans 6. Before we get to that, I'll read Galatians 3, 5. Paul says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Well, how did we die? Paul says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Well, how did that initially come about? Well, it goes all back to Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 15. Notice what Paul says. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves. Paul talking to Christians now. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but to alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust, its desires. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin, instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Your very being, your very body, your flesh. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Meganoita! May it never be, Paul says. See, that's what it's the heart of what John is saying here. I once heard of this illustration many years ago. A missionary once had in his garden a shrub, and this shrub produced poisonous leaves. So at that time, he had a small son. And as our small children would do, they put everything in their mouth, don't they? Well, just as that's his small son was at that stage where he would put everything in his mouth. So naturally, the missionary went out and he dug out that dangerous shrub that produced those poisonous leaves because he didn't want his son to eat those. But that dangerous shrub had very deep roots, which he could not get to. And it would spring up again. Although he repeatedly dug it up, it would always come back again. All he can do was inspect the area regularly, and every time that shrub would appear above the surface, he'd dig it up again. Regularly. Well, just like that. Good illustration of sin. If we allow sin to continue to enter in our life, to indwell within us, just want to put it that way. It's like that shrub. It's always coming to the surface. And that is a constant problem to us as Christians, even though we're new creations. And that's why what Paul says here and what John says. That's why we must render powerless. That's literally what Paul says in Romans 6 there. Render powerless the flesh, the things of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Crucify them. Oh, the old word that they used to use for that, we don't use anymore, and is mortification. Mortify them. And that's always something we must keep in mind. However, as the Christian scholar Bruce said, a system of thought or way of life from which the Creator, this is what John is talking about. A system of thought or way of life from which the Creator is deliberately excluded is a manifestation of unholy worldliness. And it's a lack of rendering powerless what Paul is talking about and what John means. For you see, for a Christian to live a life dominated by the flesh or in fellowship with the world, what John is talking about, it is a denial of his or her very fellowship. Do we understand that? It's a denial of our very fellowship with the crucified Christ. Why drag the old man around then? I read somewhere too a long time ago that there were ancient societies that would have some unusual punishments, forms of punishment for murder. Now, we've heard of back in the old days how they used to put people in stocks, how they used them for various crimes, you know, various things that they would do. You know, some cultures practice eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This is what the scriptures say. Some, you know, you'd be hung, be shot for murder. But it's interesting here in this one ancient culture, and I forget where it was at. But one culture, the punishment for murder was this. They would take the murdered person, the murderer, and they would take the murdered person's body, and they would literally chain it to the back of the murderer. And the murderer was required to carry that dead body of the person he murdered around with him. Can you imagine that? He was required to do that. The murderer was required to do that until the dead person, until the body began to decay. What would happen to that murderer? Wouldn't you think if a person to actually do that, literally do that, wouldn't you think that eventually the murderer himself would die of obvious causes because he's got a dead person's corpse, body, chained to him, and he's carrying that around? It has to. Till that body decays. The person would die of obvious causes. That's quite a punishment, isn't it? You know, methinks that maybe we wouldn't have such things today, you know, if they enacted some punishments like that, do you think? But we couldn't do that. Of course not. But in ancient society, and I forget what it was, did that. Now think about that spiritually. Could this happen to us spiritually? Is he dragging the old man around instead of rendering power? You see, what it comes down to is where your heart is. Just what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we read it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, what? That's where your heart is. So, if your treasure is heavenly, if you're laying up treasures above, as he says, that's where your heart is. But if your treasures are earthly, and that's meaning that's what you're concentrated on, if your treasure is earthly, guess what? That's where your heart and your commitment are. See, worldliness, many people have the wrong idea. And I think Bruce brings this out the best. Worldliness does not lie in the things we do or the things we accumulate or the places we frequent. Worldliness ultimately lies in the heart or our seat of our affections. Now that may manifest itself in various ways. But it resides, this is what Paul and John is trying to get to. It resides in the concentration on things. It comes down to who is running the show. Is Jesus Lord of life? Is Jesus Lord of our life? Or are we just playing the Lord's part? You see, many people, they want to play the Lord's part. So I'll end with this. In Exodus chapter 21, this sets up next week. Still in line with 1 John 2, 15 through 17. But in Exodus chapter 21, we read an interesting thing. Verses 2 through 6. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years. But on the seventh, he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is a husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out as a free man. Then his master shall bring him to God, and then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. Do we get what that says? A slave back in Moses' day, a Hebrew slave, could choose not to leave. Who would ever hear of such a thing? But that's what the scriptures tell us. He could choose not to leave. Then he was taken before the door, the doorpost. That means before the city gates or before the judge. And he would have his ears pierced. And he would become, because he chose that, he would become a slave for life. He would lose his freedom forever. And not because he was made to, but because he chose to, because he loved his master. He was given that choice after 7 years. Now we know in the scripture seven means complete or wholeness. What on earth could cause a person to do such a thing? And I believe because of what the scripture tells us and how it outlines it, that there had to be people like that, don't you? But what in the world could cause a person to do such a thing? This key word right here. Love. Because of Jesus' great love for us, he was pierced. He was crucified. He was pierced. The question we have to ask ourselves every day of our lives, brothers and sisters, is this. Do you love him enough? Do we love him enough to have our ears pierced spiritually? Are we ready to die to the world, to those the things that which is orientated against God? Are we ready to die to our old self and give up our rights? That's a biggie today, isn't it? Has been for years. But are we ready to give up our rights and become? Ear pierced for Jesus. To become his love slave for life. The love, that which is orientated against God, is what John is talking about. The love for the world has got to go. Because as Keith Green sang at the end of that, if you end up losing me, then what will you do? What's the alternative? What's the choice? That's what John is trying to get at to us. And what he was trying to get at to his audience. That's why he was saying the love of the Father is not in you. If you love the world, if you want to hold on to those things. And John outlines what those are. And we'll pick up with that next week. Becoming love slaves for Christ. Oh, how that is needed.